Parental advisory warning. Carlosophies, provoking thought and liberating people from their own bullshit since 2015. First time here? Hit subscribe. You'll want to stick around. Hi there. So I might sound a little bit nasally and I might be sniffing a little bit. There are two reasons for this. One, change of seasons, hay fever attack. Two, I've been crying pretty much all day. I was feeling really, I think feelings that are representative of the way a lot of women are feeling at the moment, immobilized, helpless. I was feeling definitely a sense of despondence, like this issue of women living in fear is just too big. And I was really angry. Oh, not really angry, just really sad. Sad that, like, it's women who are hearing these stories because generally men don't listen to women's voices. And I don't say this from a place of judgment. I say this from a place of experience. As a female podcaster and having been involved in this industry for, you know, 6-7 years now, I can say with quite a degree of confidence that most women's podcasts are listened to by women. Not a lot of men seek out women's voices to listen to. In fact, International Women's Day, I wrote a post in a global podcasting group asking, hey, you know, it's International Women's Day. I'd love to know who you're, you know, what voices you're listening to. There's a plane or a jet going over. You know, like, are you actually listening to women's voices? What are you doing to elevate women's voices on your own platform? And I had, you know, like, for a massive group, a disappointing response, mostly women liking it. And then a few comments from men. And I would say of the half a dozen comments that I got, most of them were, yeah, I listened to a woman. She's a co-host on a sports show. I listened to a woman. She's a co-host. Co-host, co-host, co-host. And so the chances of men listening to my podcast are relatively low. I have had a couple of listeners that have been men and have reached out to me over the years, and I'm so grateful. But, you know, I feel like this morning or today I've really been feeling like, you know, how do we reach people who, like, the people who are the issue here? And it's not women, it's men. How do we reach them? If they're not willing to listen to women's voices, how do we impact them? And, you know, I was feeling really helpless. I was feeling like change was not possible and there was nothing I could do because I can't change men. Men have to want to change themselves, and often they're in complete denial as to what the woman's experience of life is, the way we move through life. You know, most men are horrified to hear of our experiences, but they can really, and this is a vast generalization, they can really only relate to it when it's relatable to them. You know, when it's their sister or their mother or their daughter, then they can relate to it. I mean, ScoMo's comments about, ScoMo's our prime minister here in Australia, and we had part of this whole we had a women's march here in Australia for violence against women, and it was spurred on in part by a few women who came out having worked at Parliament House and for the government and were abused in their positions by politicians and then have been backed. Like, the male politicians. And, you know, and so it's just Me Too version fucking 100. And, yeah, and if these men in power, and this particular Prime Minister of Australia, for those Australians, you know, I'm listening, talking about Scotty from marketing, you know, ScoMo said, his name's Scott Morrison, Aussies, we always have a nickname. So ScoMo had said, you know, in a statement that, like, His wife had mentioned, what if it was our daughter? And that is the only way he could relate to women's experience, was through making it about him and his daughter. And this is an interesting thing because today I was on Instagram. Actually, I'm just going to grab my phone. And there was someone actually shared it with me. Jade, hello, if you're listening. Thank you for the share. I think it was Jade. Oh, yeah, here it is. So it's a video by, hang on, let's see. Where are we? I'm just going to click through. Chris, I've got my glasses, Hemmings, shared it. And it was him talking about male violence against women. You know, and he talks about how there's this part in it which just made me cry. It was about, you know, he's the woman interviewing him says, you know, he says that what they've found is that after 13, boys lose their sense of empathy. And he talks a little bit about why that is. He mentions that, you know, societally, culturally, femininity is seen as a negative when you're a man. And if we think about like men who have effeminate qualities are often picked on, right? So it's really important to protect yourself that you're not seen as feminine. Well, imagine that experience. Like, I know I'm speaking to women, so I'm speaking to the converted here. Like, this is our experience, right? Like, we are women and we're constantly under attack, to put it brutally. You know, there is an undercurrent constantly traveling with us that we aren't safe. And men experience that with femininity themselves. So, you know, but so they are locking parts of themselves out for self-protection. They have to be manly. They have to, you know, they have to be the cavemen. And it's also a partly self-preservation, but with that masculinity, empathy is not seen as a desirable trait. And so it's really after about the age of 13, it's starting, or I think it's being beaten out of children much earlier than that. But at 13, you know, there's that shift that happens, you know, and with me too, I really struggled at that age. That's when shit started to happen to me, actually. And so, you know, so it's kind of, it kind of explains, I guess, a little bit as to why empathy is such a hard thing for men, and I'm speaking generally here, to embody. So there's that. But the video, it's him being interviewed by a woman, and she says, well, you know, what can we do to change this? And he says, honestly, you've done enough. And I started bawling because I was like, fucking oath we have done enough. Fucking oath we have done enough. We have worked our lives. We're always looking at how can we change this? How can we change this for our daughters? How can we raise sons that are, you know, that are allies for women? How can we, you know, it's all on us. Why aren't men asking that question? Maybe they are, not in the circles that I've been involved in. And so I got to this place where I was feeling really helpless and despondent. How can I change culture and society if I can't have men listen to me? If I'm never going to be able to reach men, how can I change things? And yeah, and this was the point where I was feeling really like, I just don't think I can. I just don't think I can. And then, I don't know, I actually had a session with my kinesiologist and we were digging into it and I was bawling my eyes out. And then at some point, something shifted and I thought about how women, how we have a tendency, maybe it's our nurturing nature, I'm not sure, but we have this tendency to take total responsibility. And in fact, it's talked about a lot in women's coaching spaces, you know, like taking radical responsibility and full responsibility for your life. And I actually think that's a bit harmful, because I know it's led to some places good. I've felt empowered in some areas by taking full responsibility, and it's helped me to see my part in it. But when I go through the list of, you know, literally hundreds of interactions that I've had with men that have been abusive in nature, there's nothing that I can own there, and there's nothing that I'm willing to own there, because I will not take on responsibility for a man. And this is the point that I got to. I feel like women take on too much responsibility in the home, and too much responsibility overall. Why is it our responsibility here to change things? And I realized that while I can't change men, I can change women and the way they interact with the men in their life. And I feel like a key to this is for us to stop taking so much responsibility. For us to, you know, one thing that maddens me as a, you know, I feel like I was a born feminist. I've always been someone who has, not always, but like, you know, for my adult life anyway, I've always been someone who was like, I'm not doing that for you. No. Wash your own fucking socks. Cook your own fucking dinner. You know, like I'm not gonna do all of the things. I'm not gonna keep a beautiful house for you, be at your beck and call when you feel like getting your rocks off, and I'm not gonna serve you dinner afterwards. You know, no, I'm not here for that. And that might sound a little harsh, but you know, I have a husband who is a partner in life. And he cooks dinner. He is the cook in our house. He also lifts his weight when it comes to cleaning. He folds washing. He puts it away. You know, there's things that ship me sometimes because he doesn't have the same attention to detail. And sometimes he likes to throw a fucking, you know, blanket over things and pretend they've gone away, in terms of like actually quite literally. If there's rubbish somewhere, he just kind of covers it with a blanket. And that drives me insane. But for the most part, he's actually, you know, he's a very engaged dad. I've always had a supportive partner. He understands that his role is to be a 50% partner in life, and that includes, you know, supporting me in my business. I would not be available for, you know, I am not available for someone who isn't supportive of me and my endeavors. And I know this is not the case for everyone. How do we change society? We change it by changing ourselves. And that on flows to changing the men, right? And I don't mean like taking more responsibility on here. The responsibility within you is to remove some responsibility, to hand it back over, right? I actually made some notes, right, while I was in my session today. It's like, we don't need to do this anymore. We don't need to, like, I speak to so many women. And it infuriates me, you know, they're like, oh, you know, I've got the three kids and then my husband. And it's like, it actually makes me like, I'm not here for that, like, at all. And I'll be like, well, get your husband to fucking pull his weight. You're not his mother. You're his partner. And partners work together. If you are doing all the things, like, it's time to set down some shit. I have this image in my head of women, right? Like, we talk about mental load and we talk about how we're carrying all the load. Put some fucking down. Put some down, girl. You don't have to carry all that shit yourself. And I have to also recognize that isn't a possibility. There are plenty of women single without the support of a father, dealing with all the things and doing it on their own. You know, so you can't necessarily drop the balls when you're that, right? But if you're in a partnership, then you should not be doing all the heavy lifting unless you really enjoy it, which is not the experience of most women. Most women I find are frustrated or bitter and twisted or angry about their, you know, the amount of work that they're carrying and not having the support of their partner. So, you know, when we take on the responsibility to that level and we are not only being responsible for our children, but we're also making sure our partner's needs are met and everyone else's needs are met but our own, we're not actually giving anyone the chance to step up and take ownership of things and be responsible themselves. So, you know, while I can't change, you know, I can't necessarily change men, I can change women and the way they interact with men. And that feeling of immobilization that I was experiencing, I feel like this is really common for women. They do feel helpless, like they can't, nothing can change. Like, you know, where they are is kind of their lot in life. And they have this partner and he's not, you know, he's like the fourth child, or, you know, they don't have the support. They have to ask, like still ask permission to do something, or feel guilt when they want to do something for themselves. You know, like, I am so not here for any of that. And you don't have to be either. But also you don't have to get angry and, you know, and like, and spiteful. We can just set some things down. You know, how do we make this change in our homes? Because the thing is, I believe part of this whole thing is that women have been taking responsibility for men's behavior for far too long. And we've been taking responsibility and owning the abuse that we've faced as women. Those experiences of sexual assault that I've experienced through my life, like I can't even believe it now, because I feel like I've come to a place where I recognize it's not my fault. But there was a time where I was trying to own something there. Did I give them the wrong message? Was I too flirtatious? Was there something that I did to, you know, incite this violence against myself? What? No. I was just a woman moving through life as a woman. And through my life, I have taken on those experiences and the responsibility for them, and I've kept them inside. And with that, one thing that I feel like I've experienced, what I'm experiencing now with everything that's kind of coming up, and I'm seeing all these women sharing and, you know, sharing my own stories, you know, what I'm sensing for myself is it's similar to, I've been highly affected by what's happening in the world at the moment. And I feel the feeling is almost like grief. You know, somebody had said to me, I said in an Instagram story, you know, I've done a lot of therapy, and on one particular incident that I shared an Instagram post, you can go and read it if you like. Well, if you want to know the backstory, but you know, I said, oh, you know, I've done a lot of therapy, and I'm okay. I've reconciled this particular incident, and many others, because it's not an isolated incident. There are many others, and a friend of mine had said, you know, and I said, I'm okay, and they had said to me, you know you're okay, but I just also want to let you know that it's okay not to be okay with it. You know, like it's okay. And I just want to send you some love, kind of thing. And I was like, yeah, you know what? It's actually these experiences that we have as women, they're similar to grief in the nature that it never actually goes away. We can go through therapy and do all the healing, but those experiences are our experiences, and they travel with us throughout life. And it's like grief. It kind of just comes in waves. It's always there. It's just not in the front all the time. Like, it's not like the last 22 years of my life have been all consumed with this one sexual assault, right? Like, there are it's not like it was very all consuming in the beginning. And then, you know, I kind of processed it and healed and even did a bit of forgiving. But it's still there, and it will always be with me, because it is an experience that I've had that was really traumatic. And while the surface of the trauma is healed, there is a scar, and the scar is, yeah, it, I don't know, it just kind of has this feeling of like a grief of the things that I have lost through, you know, my innocence is one thing that I lost, not on my own. There's so much that the impact of that event and the events, it's like at the moment it's come to this accumulation point where it's like collectively so many experiences, and that's just me personally. When I start adding them up, I'm like, absolutely, what the fuck, you know? But yeah, well, I guess like what I want to leave you all with is like change happens. Change can happen, but not in the way that often we think it will, right? So me, I thought it meant that I had to somehow reach men and make them listen to me and hear our experiences. But it can't just be on me to change men, because men aren't necessarily going to be listening to me. But they will listen, as we've seen with ScoMo, they will listen when it affects them personally. And if we can let every man in our life know that this is the women's experience, then maybe we can shift things. But in that, we also have to stop taking responsibility. We have to stop taking responsibility for their behavior. We have to stop taking responsibility for, like, by taking on all of the mental load. We have to start allowing men, or not allowing, but insisting that they pick up the slack, that they take responsibility for themselves, take responsibility for their actions, take responsibility for, as a parent, you know? And how that happens is incrementally, and not through necessarily shaming, but through, you know, coming home one night. You know what? I'm not cooking dinner tonight. Can you grab some dinner? You can cook tonight. So this is how you use the, like, this actually makes me really fucking angry, but this is how you use a dishwasher. You do it. The clothes need folding, you know? These are the enrollment forms for school. Can you fill them in and drop them off? Because that whole, oh, but I work, you know, and what are you doing there in your little business? You know, like you're not contributing, and you know, it's like, no, don't stand for that bullshit. It doesn't matter. They can still pull their fucking weight. So yeah, that's my episode today. Like, how do we make change? We make change small and incrementally, and by not taking responsibility for things that are not ours to take responsibility for, whether that is sexual assault or folding fucking socks, not your responsibility. Okay, until next week, peace out. Want more me in your life? Head to carlynimmo.com or find me on Instagram at carlosophies. But honestly, the best thing you can do is tell a friend about this podcast. Until next week, peace out.